The American framers said that our rights come from God, but what happens in a nation where there's no acknowledgement of God? Well, since 1917, atheistic communism began to spread in Russia and in the Soviet Union, and the rights of people went out the window. While the Soviet Union imploded in the early 1990s, Russia and Ukraine and other countries are still dealing with the fallout of 70 years of forced atheism and collectivism. Some of the victims we don't necessarily think about are the young people of Russia and of Ukraine, where many children and teenagers even end up in sex and labor trafficking. But there is hope. Adam McManus writes, quote, through the Illinois-based Slavic Gospel Association-supported ministry called Orphans Reborn, trained volunteers from 6,300 evangelical churches across the former Soviet Union visit orphanages every week to develop relationships with the older orphan teens. That way, when the orphans age out at the age of 18, they get plugged into a Christian community and hopefully even a family to protect them from sex trafficking, slave labor, organized crime, and suicide. Michael Johnson is the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Michael, we welcome you back to the program, and this time it's to talk about Orphans Reborn. Set the table for us beyond whatever I just said in that introduction, if you would.
Well, the ministry of the Slavic Gospel Association was established in 1934 by an immigrant from Russia by the name of Peter Danica, and our initial thrust was the covert distribution of books and Bibles and Christian literature during the dark years of communism. And we also developed a Russian language radio program that we would broadcast via shortwave radio in partnership with Transworld Radio, FEBC, and HCJB. So when the wall came down, we had to shift our strategy. So we connected with one of the largest groups of evangelical churches over there, that would be the Baptist churches. And most people know that that Russia and those countries missed the Reformation. They had adopted Orthodox Christianity in the 10th century. But in the early 1800s, German Mennonite missionaries came into those countries and began to evangelize the peasant populations. And there was a revival that the Lord allowed to take place during the 1800s, but again, when the communists came to power, that was all shut down. So now, when the country opened up roughly 30 years ago, and freedom came, we connected with their emerging churches, and initially their thrust was theological training, and we fund most of their theological training, but. And then we send church planters out to preach the gospel, plant new churches, and then we fund their ministries. One of the main ministries that they are deeply concerned about are the plight of these children growing up in state-run orphanages. And one of the statistics that was discovered about 30 years ago was that once they age out on their 18th birthday, roughly 97% of those kids are lost. You know, trafficking, alcoholism, prostitution, suicide. It's just a really, really bad situation because they have no family, they have no connections. And so I was in Siberia. I was traveling with the church leaders, and I noticed that they had an open door to go in and minister to these kids in state-run orphanages, something that we as Christians wouldn't be allowed to do in this country, ironically. But there was an opportunity that they took advantage of. Based upon our partnership with those churches, we asked them how we could help them, and they told us that, you know, they have volunteers that are willing to go into these orphanages every single week to build relationships with the kids, to, you know, lead them to Christ, to conduct Bible studies, to help them to understand what it means to live as a Christian. So when on their 18th birthday they age out, they're not subject to life on the streets, but again, as you mentioned, they're embraced by local churches. They continue to grow in their faith. many of those kids, after they graduate, they get training, and then they go back into the orphanages to minister to the kids as they're growing up in those orphanages. So we have impacted the lives of probably over 100,000 children over the years as a result of this program, and God continues to bless the ministry.
And I read here, across Russia, Ukraine, and other ex-Soviet countries, an estimated 700,000 orphaned or abandoned children languish in bleak institutions. So you've got quite a mission field there just with these kids.
Yeah, we do. And again, we have access to roughly 6,000 Baptist evangelical churches, many of whom have active work going on in these orphanages. And if we can provide additional funds and resources to them, they can reach a lot more kids. And so, again, it's for us, it's we have a long-term partnership with the churches over there. They're doing wonderful work. I mean, we do other ministries. I mean, last summer we sponsored 80,000 children to attend Christian summer camps through these churches, and most of these kids had never stepped foot in a church before. So it's a great evangelistic outreach as well. So, you know, these are the kinds of things that we do to equip those churches so that they can reach more people, you know, plant more churches, see more young people come to faith in Christ, and then be discipled in these strong churches.
The U.S. State Department said this, quote, "Traffickers lure children from state and municipal orphanages into forced begging, forced criminality, sex trafficking, used by armed groups, and other forms of abuse." Sounds almost like, you know, something out of a Dickens novel or something, you know, when you think of Oliver Twist, the mean streets, you know, of London, but you were talking about the mean streets of Moscow, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's all over those countries. But for me, I've traveled throughout many of these orphanages, because obviously I was the one that sort of kind of put all the pieces together of this program. And there were times when we were in those orphanages, you know, with the church workers, and they were drawing the kids into their Bible studies and Awana programs and that kind of thing. And down the hall, there was the criminal element. We're recruiting the kids into a life of crime. So basically, there was a battle for the heart and soul of these children going on in those orphanages on an ongoing basis.
Isn't that amazing? It is just kind of like Oliver Twist, you know.
It is kind of like,
you got Fagin on the one hand, and then the Christian ministry on the other. And one of your slogans is, "The gospel is the heart of everything." You want to elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, this is a gospel ministry, and we were established at a time when, you know, people were either killed or thrown into jail for simply, you know, preaching the gospel. So, you know, the gospel is at the heart of everything. So, so there's a lot of, you know, humanitarian opportunities to go in, you know, but unless there's an opportunity to share the love of Christ and share the gospel with these young people and see them come to faith in Christ, as many are, it's just, you know, we're not really fulfilling our mission, because we're a gospel-based mission.
Can you go ahead and tell us a story or two about orphans reborn? I mean, an example or two of life changed?
Well, we come across a lot of life change and as a result of this, but you know, this is one particular young girl that I encountered when I was out there, and you know, she grew up in a home where there was a lot of dysfunction, particularly out in Siberia, where the rates of alcoholism are extremely high. There's a lot of violence in the home, and as a result of that, the authorities come in, they take the kids out of the home, and they put them in these orphanages where they have to grow up. And so, you know, this one particular girl, she was very depressed, and she was very just saw really no hope because there was no chance for her to, you know, grow up in a family, which is the case with most of these kids. And one particular, you know, orphan worker was in there, and you know, she saw that she was, you know, not doing well, and she sat down with her. And
by the way, how old was this girl about?
She would have been about 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, okay.
and at the time. And so, you know, she shared the gospel with her. She came to faith in Christ, and this, and she was discipled by this worker that we have supported to go in every virtually every week. And again, she grew up. She graduated from the orphanage on their 18th birthday, and she went back in. And now she's a supported worker, you know, through the Orphans Reborn program, you know, and she is really effective because she grew up in the orphanages. She knows what these kids go through. She has a tremendous amount of empathy for them. And she's just been a really great asset to the program as a result of this.
Wow, that is so cool. You want to give another example?
I can't. I think we get them in on a pretty regular basis. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Well, while you're looking that up, I do want to ask you this. I remember hearing one time in a message, they were making the point that for the average person during the heyday of the Soviet Union, alcohol was a way of life because it really just helped bludgeon the pain that you were feeling. And so vodka was subsidized.
Yeah, it's the fruit of the potato.
Yeah, and it was subsidized essentially by the state because it helped, you know, just kind of ameliorate, keep the masses from rising up again, you know, against the revolution.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a huge problem in those countries, and I mean it's not a small problem in this country either, but in those countries, you know, when you grow up in, you know, zero weather. You know, the only way you're going to get warm is if you drink a lot of vodka. So it's led to, again, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of the breakup of the family. And again, in his fueled the growth of the orphan populations in these state-run orphanages because they just can't grow up in a home like that.
And in the meantime,
so anyway,
go ahead. You found a story?
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, real quick. So, let's see. In early December, a youngster from the Caucasus, a Muslim nationality, began attending Bible classes. He said that he killed a person, but did not feel guilty because he killed the one who offended his mother. He thought of himself as a hero. During the second class, and this is a class that would have taken place in a local church, he asked many questions and argued. Today, he attends our classes. And he confessed that he did not have the right to kill anyone. That means he allowed the Lord to work in his heart. So this is what's happening with these churches where, you know, they're inviting these kids in and God touches their heart as a result of the witness of these Christians. Another one, there's a group of skinheads in the juvenile detention center. The skinheads also attend our classes. Each time they come, we see how angry they are. But gradually, after attending our classes, they have calmed down and started asking many questions. But by their questions, we guess that they started reading the New Testament that we had provided them. After Christmas outreach, one of them came up to me and asked if God would forgive him for killing a person. We explain that he has to sincerely repent before God in a prayer to receive him as a Savior. He left with hope in his heart. In this very place, the Lord shows us in a special way that this is his ministry and that he is able to change hearts of these young people.
Wow, and you're talking about kids. And then there's a problem of suicide, too, among adolescents.
Yeah.
We have about 10 seconds to go. It sounds like there is hope. In spite of the bleak circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That Christ is building his church throughout all those countries right now, especially in Ukraine as well.
All right, SGA.org for more information. Our guest has been Michael Johnson. Thank you, Michael, for all you do. God bless you.
Thank you very much.